This is CBS Eye on the World. I welcome Veronique Durigy of the Mercatus Center, writing about the Export-Import Bank at the National Review Online. The Export-Import Bank, well-known producer of loans to worthy corporations, we're told, in order to do business overseas or in order to encourage business for American firms overseas. However, during the pandemic, the Export-Import Bank, if I read Veronique correctly, made a special initiative, a temporary initiative, to adjust its practices for loans in America and around the world, especially for small businesses. At least that was the presentation. Veronique, a very good evening to you. First, we better do some definitions. What is the mission statement of Export-Import Bank, and does it involve small business? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So the Export-Import Bank is an agency that offers financing to companies in the U.S., but also different financial tools in the U.S., but mostly also abroad, so that for the purpose of propping up American exports. So, for instance, you have a foreign company, let's say Air Emirates, they want to buy a Boeing planes, and they will extend a loan guarantee which has lower rate and better terms. So basically the financing will go through a private lender, but with the guarantee of EXIM for the purchase of that plane.
So the Export-Import Bank has now been responsible for a piece of business for an American company, Boeing. And over time, we've talked about Export-Import Bank before. Boeing is a favorite of Export-Import Bank. Is my memory correct?
Yes. So we call it the Boeing Bank, or the Bank of Boeing, because 40% of all its activity, of all the money, can be traced to benefiting Boeing.
You follow Export-Import Bank very carefully, and therefore I puzzle. Are you surprised that during the pandemic, Export-Import Bank came up with a creative way to present itself with temporary measures? What did they do, Veronique?
You know, you would think that I would not be surprised. And yet, the scale of how much the Export-Import Bank is devoted to Boeing, it actually always surprises me, manages to surprise me. So during the pandemic, they created four different lending facilities for different things. So there was a supply chain financing guarantee program, and there were a bunch of other things. And there were four different temporary measures that were meant to support the economy and exporters. And when I looked at them, it was pretty clear that they were, at the very least, two of them that were explicitly designed for Boeing. Of course, it wasn't said, but when you actually look at what they did, really literally, that's what they were doing. And another thing is, like, one of those facility was, so the, as I say, the supply chain financing guarantee program, it hadn't really been used before, but one of the things that Boeing did in the name of the pandemic is actually to eliminate the program's target of having at least serving 50% of supplier that were small businesses. And so they just lift that requirement, making it possible now to actually do 100% of their activity for big businesses, which is, by the way, what they do in normal time. I mean, in normal time, really a vast majority, when you actually look at the money, a vast majority, it's anywhere between 70% and 80% goes to actually serving big businesses.
To establish a fundamental here, the Export-Import Bank has an intimate relationship with Congress, and it was recently extended for another, five centuries, something like that.
So, yeah, seven, I think.
Yeah, so Congress is part of this decision-making, and the creativity of Export-Import Bank is an expression of Congress. Now we come to the puzzle of these temporary measures, and you include the witticism in your column that nothing is as permanent as a temporary measure for the U.S. government. So what is the permanent temporary measure that was created by the Export Bank during the pandemic, and who enjoyed the bounty?
Yeah, so I mean, XM is not the only one to have actually kind of created some temporary government program as a result of the pandemic. Obviously, there have been a lot of COVID relief bills that were done in the name of responding to the pandemic, and they were all supposed to be temporary. And so, you know, XM is just one of them. But what is kind of interesting is that as we're really getting really quickly out of this pandemic, and the, you know, the economy seems to be doing fairly well, they just decided to extend those temporary program for another year, even though they totally acknowledge that the economy is doing very well. And so it's kind of bizarre, in and of itself, right? It's like, so those programs that were created because there was a need, the economy was, you know, was not doing well, was in the tank. Now the economy is doing well, and yet they renew those programs.
Let me read from the press release, because this is very careful language, and Veronique is about to explicate this language. Writes Export-Import Bank in a press release. Over the past year, pandemic, U.S. small businesses benefited significantly from the relief measures. Since April 2020, the measures have resulted in $1 billion in export-import working capital guarantee and supply chain financing guarantee authorizations. In fiscal year FY 2021, the one we're into right now, Export-Import Bank's working capital guarantees for minority and women-owned businesses have risen to a total of $31.5 million, a 50% increase over the previous period in FY 2020. Sounds extremely worthy, Veronique. What am I missing here?
Well, especially if everyone loves small businesses, right?
I mean,
it's just, so remember, like, one of the things that they did is to lift the requirement that a lot of the money, that half of the money at least, went to small businesses. And so that press release was really, it was stunning. And when you actually kind of dig into that $1 billion and where it went, you actually realize that half of it literally goes to Boeing, and a lot of and most of the rest also goes to really big companies.
U.S. Steel, that's no small company.
U.S. Freeport LNG, right?
Most,
I mean, just like huge company, GE and U.S. Steel and Boeing and it is really it. I mean, it's astonishing. It's absolutely. It's just. Totally, I mean, you have to admire the guts to do this, to present it as if this, what this $1 billion, to write it in a way, a creative way that makes it sound as if this $1 billion actually went to small businesses when really it went very, very largely to large businesses.
Let's follow Freeport LNG, because you've done more. You're like a detective with Export-Import Bank, and they should be appreciative of the fact that you follow them so closely. Somehow the money to Freeport LNG wound up in Mozambique. How did that happen?
No, so what ended up happening is that, so there was XM was working on a big LNG project in Mozambique, and $5 billion. It was a very, very, very big deal. And the way that works, right, is that the company, that LNG company, is asking for $5 billion of loan guaranteed from the U.S. in order to buy American oil and gas stuff, material like Caterpillar and all that stuff, right? And also probably some GE product, I assume. And the LNG company, rightfully so, the industry, went to XM and said, hey, what the hell? You are giving our competitors, basically discounting loans, and they're going to end up competing with us on the global market. So XM was like, and this was revealed recently by a bunch of piece using a FOIA request that looked at exchange between the LNG company and XM officials. And so they said, what the hell? And XM said, whoa, we want this deal in Mozambique to happen. So let's see what we can do for you, LNG American industry. And what ended up happening, this is how basically Freeport LNG got access to this supply chain financing. So the way it works is like Freeport has a bunch of suppliers that it wants to pay, and it needs to extend its loan for whatever reason, and which probably shouldn't be difficult for Freeport at all to get access to capital. But instead, it, I understand why, would prefer to get a very, you know, cheap loan from XM. I mean, and so what happened is, like, so it was organized and announced by XM in a press release, kind of noting how wonderful it was, you know, that Green Seal financing company was going to actually extend that loan to Freeport, guaranteed by U.S. taxpayers.
This is the same Green Seal that's involved in a scandal in the United Kingdom, including the former Prime Minister being investigated because he was lobbying in the stead of a now disgraced and I believe defunct firm, Green Seal. Yes, okay,
absolutely the same. So basically, they agreed to that Freeport handout.
Right.
Immediately, the LNG company withdrew their opposition to the Mozambique project. I mean, this is, you know, when we talk about exchanging, like, favors and stuff, this is literally how it works. And we had, like, a first seat position
And you listened in on the call, and they were very pleased with themselves. Now, a little detail here before we turn to education. The minority and women-owned businesses mentioned in the press release of the 31.5 million, that doesn't seem like a very big piece of the 1 billion, but they're very pleased with it. Is that going to continue?
No, I mean, I'm not sure. They see the problem. One of the big problem actually that XM has with is like the political support for XM, and especially the political support in Congress, come from them being able to say that they support women businesses and they support small businesses.
Right.
The problem they really face is that actually there aren't that many small businesses that would like that need XM, right? So they constantly have this support. So whatever they can scrap, they just kind of really highlight it. It's like, look at this.
Right.
But I mean, anyone with a calculator or just a sense of number can see that, you know, 31.5 million is just nothing compared to the 1 billion that large corporations.
510 million went to Boeing, 450 million went to U.S. Steel, 50 million went to Freeport LNG. Veronique de Régie of the Mercatus Center, following Export Import Bank, because somebody must. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.